Welcome to Second Take, Episode 4. My name is Ben.
I'm Levi.
And I'm Eli. And quick little social plug. We got a TikTok at SecondTake_2. We got an Instagram at SecondTake_2. The TikTok is a lot more active, but we're picking up the Instagram. So let's get it going.
All right. So we're going to start with some, we're going to talk about March Madness. National championship, both men's and women's, and a little bit of NFL news, some golf stuff, and some a little bit more.
So again, no Will today. He said his mom made dinner. I meant to say already, but Cooper is out being Cooper and doing golf and then soccer. So then we got some basketball going on. We got the March Madness just finishing it up. So we're about to get going on that. Let's start with Purdue versus NC State in the Final Four. I know Ben has some thoughts on that.
I mean, I'd say it was a good game. Like I said after the game, like I'd seen it posted other places. Edie and Burns, very good matchup. Edie ended up obviously winning the matchup, but Burns showed every bit of the weaknesses that Zach Edie had. And I mean, UConn pretty much exploited them. They just had to play. They played really quick in the national championship game, kind of jumped into the natty, and made him tired, made him slow, which that's one thing that DJ Burns couldn't do being his size. They couldn't run the floor as well and tire him out, and I think that's one of the reasons that they couldn't. Zach Edie was so dominant is because they could play. Purdue could play their pace a game, the entire game.
Yeah, I agree. I was like watching that game. It was just like Edie just didn't like he didn't look himself. Honestly, like the difference between the Purdue Tennessee game and the Purdue NC State game, like Edie was putting up a ton of points. He put like 40 points against Tennessee, and then I don't know how much he put against NC State. Obviously, he's Purdue's best player, and he definitely put up a ton of points against NC State too. But like he just had. Like, he had turnovers, he had quite a few turnovers. He just didn't look as good against NC State.
Yeah. I mean, my sunshine, Edie, he let me down in the championship, but he did put up a good matchup against Burns. I was getting a little scared in the first half because they NC State was doing a good job of, like, using Burns, like, as a screen man, like, on offense. And so the Purdue guards were pretty much just playing a 4v5. Because they just had Edie in the center the whole time because Burns can't shoot. And so that was a good job by NC State coaching. But then Purdue at halftime, they figured it out and just went ahead. And so just good coaching by Purdue there. And then in the championship, like I said before, they have literally only Edie, like all their other guards. If they would have switched one guard from UConn and Purdue, I think that game would have been a completely different outcome. So,
all right, we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that, what you just said in a second. Let's talk about UConn versus Alabama.
Yeah, speaking of good coaching, UConn's coach, he's freaking nice. Like I said last podcast, they're winning by a lot, and I didn't think that there was any reason for it to stop, and it didn't stop. They came out swinging against Alabama coming out of that second half. What are they beating by? Freaking, it was 15-plus probably. Yeah, I mean, it was good until halftime, same with the national championship, but UConn knows how to make adjustments quick. Now we're on.
Yeah, the score was 86-72.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was a good game. UConn, I mean, it's like the score itself, though, did not show how close the game was. Because, like, the whole game they were close, and then UConn just pulled away at the end, and like we're clearly the better team. I mean, they just know how to win, and I mean, that's what got them the national championship.
I'd say before we jump to the national championship, we'll hit you with the women's national championship. I know Eli had some thoughts about Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes and their matchup against the undefeated South Carolina.
Yeah, I didn't think she deserved to even get that far. I think it was all mainstream media putting her in the the championship game, just all rigged from the start. Yeah, and then those men at South Carolina, 37-0, was it?
Yeah, maybe finished the season 38-0, maybe.
Yeah, that's some real numbers to be putting up for a lot of men over there. So, good job for. I would like to congratulate those men.
All right, that's a little crazy. Caitlin Clark scored 30 points that game. I mean, she did. I mean, she did all right. I mean, obviously, 30 points is a lot of points, but I'm saying Iowa was just like, if they just could play defense, they would have won that game. Like, they're the better offensive team than South Carolina, but South Carolina is just so dominant on defense, it didn't matter.
It was one guard. Caitlin Clark had four turnovers, and they were all in the backcourt. And it was one point guard from South Carolina who had them all, had four steals on that. And I think it's also a lack of a big. I think chasing after only like one recruit for Iowa, like Caitlin Clark, kind of their little prize piece right there. They didn't have a strong big all season, and that's why they were able to be exploited by Kansas State with Aoka Lee, and that's why they're exploited by Cardoza. She out rebounded them like crazy, and just was a beast in the paint in that game.
Yeah,
Cardoza always said defense wins championships.
Cardoza, I mean, just went crazy. She was the most physical player out on the court. I mean, clearly. She had 17 rebounds.
Me and him.
All right, now to the men's national championship.
I swear she's a dude. Literally on everything.
All right, is Edie overrated or overhyped, or is he right on par with what the media and everyone has him at?
Eli, how do we start this conversation?
I'll start with, if anything, I think he's a little underrated from the start. Because if you look just at the numbers from like his team around him, in the championship, he had three games with 30 and 15, 30 points and 15 rebounds. That's just some insane stats. Like almost every game in the tournament, he put up more points than the rest of his team combined. And so, like, to get to the national championship handily carrying your team, it's just kind of absurd to me. Like, UConn, they have – what is it? They have, like, three really good guards, and then they have two other players that are, like, more like role players. They're so good. But getting there all by yourself, I think he's underrated.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, like, a bad player at all in my mind. Like, he's up there with a really great player, but I think the media is portraying him trying to say that he is the greatest college athlete, like the greatest college basketball player to ever play. It's just kind of – that's kind of crazy. Like, I think you have to go Pete Maravich over that any day of the week. But, I mean, still 15 rebounds a game is crazy because, I mean, I was checking in Wimby stats. He only averages like 10.6 rebounds per game. That is stiffer competition. I mean, Edie is just taller than everyone out there. Yeah. He clearly showed he was the only player on Purdue that could score, and he still wasn't being very efficient in the game. Like, he gave them a fighting chance in the second half, and there was a lot of shots that I think that could have brought them back into the game, but he missed, like, shots. 9 times out of 10, he's not missing, but he missed. So, yeah, I'll see what Levi.
I mean, when you have 5 people on your whole team who actually score points, that's just insane. They literally – Edie scored 37, Smith 12, and then there was a guy with 4, a guy with 5, and a guy with 2 points. So, I mean, obviously Edie carried their team, and then he carried their team the whole championship run. And, like, probably the whole season, realistically. But I don't know. He's won Player of the Year 2 years in a row, but I don't think he's going to get picked number one overall. Like, it's like there's no way. I mean, he's a good player, obviously, but I don't think he's gonna make it in the NBA. I mean, unless if he could get a little more athletic. He just looks so, like, clunky, and he just does the same shot every time. I saw him like have one dunk that was really good, but I mean, he's 7'4". All he has to do is jump like an inch off the ground to actually dunk the ball.
Yeah, I think he's going to be, if he makes it in the NBA, I think his like position will be more of like a little less of like a Bam Adebayo, because Bam, he gets like 15, 12 points a game, but he just rebounds the heck out of the ball. And I feel like that's what Edie could do. Like, he's 7'4". And like being 7'4" and in college against like the people you're playing against, like you automatically have an advantage. But I mean, that comes with ball.
Yeah.
Who is going to go number one? I haven't really kept up with
Bronny.
That's just a...
We'll get to Bronny in a second.
Let's actually get to Bronny right now.
No, let's get into... Let's talk about a few things before we... Let's talk about a little bit more national title stuff.
He's NIL. Like, he's Canadian, so I'm pretty sure he's like, he can't qualify for some of the NIL stuff.
So he's a little pressed about that. Yeah. Maybe don't be Canadian. Yeah.
UConn are just trash.
Back to back, first time.
Wait, take a pause and just listen to what Ben said.
Say that again.
Canadians are just trash. Like, they're just like off-brand, like, French people.
Most of them, yeah, or off-brand, like, Minnesotan or Michigan people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're either, if you speak English in Canada, then you're just an off-brand, like, Minnesota person, like a Northeaster, or if you're like, you speak French, like you're in like Quebec or whatever, you're just like a wannabe French person.
Yeah, the only reason I don't like Canadians is because if you're Canadian, you're going to know someone's Canadian within like the first minute, because they're so proud to be an off-brand French person. It's kind of crazy.
Or an off-brand Minnesotan or Michigan person. They just...
All right, let's get back on track.
All right, UConn. Back-to-back, first time since 2007 with the Gators. Crazy. They dominated the whole season.
UConn coach Dan Hurley, that's his name? Yeah. He had a pretty stern, like, conversation in, like, the post-game interview. I think that it wasn't, like, stern. It was just pretty, like, commanding, like, and he made his case for that they're one of the best teams that we've seen in a long time. Like, they lost three starters to the draft last year, and to come back and win that is insane.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the number is, but I think in the last 2 years, they haven't been within 12 points of another team. Like, they've won by 12 points every game in the champion, like in their entire tournament, which is absurd to say. And also, KU beat them by 4 in the regular season.
Here we go with this. All right, and K-State beat KU, so technically K-State has a share of this national championship as well.
Yeah, so K-State won the national championship. Yeah,
K-State won the national championship. You heard it here first, folks. Tyler Perry led K-State to a national championship.
That's a good title. K-State real national title.
UConn had 3 losses, and one of them was KU. KU at full strength. I think they could have made a deeper run than they did.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, their season, like, was a mix of, like, they played good one day, and then they played terribly against a team that they should have cooked. Yeah. But, I mean, they were so inconsistent, they just couldn't do anything.
Yeah, no Kevin McCullough, and then a Hunter Dickinson with shoulder injury.
Yeah, I think next year they're going to have a chance.
They have Dickinson next year. They don't have McCullough, do they? Yeah, no McCullough, no Juan Harris.
We have Adams again. Yeah, no DeJuan Harris.
You'll just have Furphy is going to build that program.
I think. Yeah, for sure.
We'll jump to Bronny James declaring for the draft. And LeBron's thoughts on that is absurd, in my opinion. Ash, I want to hear what you have to say.
I just think it's insane to be declaring for the NBA draft when you average 4.6 points a game. I don't think he's going to get picked. The only reason he would get picked is off of name brand. And, like, that team who, like, would pick him would most likely get LeBron. So, Levi.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm going to read off his a couple of his season stats. He averaged 4.8 game points a game, 2.8 rebounds, 2.1 assists, and he was 36.6% field goals. That's he should have played another season in college before he. I mean, I don't even know.
I think he's retaining his eligibility, so is he? He'll be. But he entered the portal and hit the draft. I don't know. I feel like it's just like any team that takes him is just in for this toxic circle of
LeBron, like
bad media attention. Just like if LeBron, because if LeBron voices his opinion about Bronny's playing time, Bronny's this, Bronny's that, then it's just going to go negative around the team and the coach and everything.
Yeah. The only reason that a team would go and get him is if they know for a fact they're going to get LeBron with him. Like, that's the only reason that a team would go and pick him early on.
Yeah.
Or at all.
Yeah, I feel like a team that would be good to go and grab him is like the Bulls, because like they're like middle of the pack. They might make the play-in. They're like on that like cusp of like the play-in. And I feel like even like with just Bronny, I don't think the bad media attention would mess with any of their players too much. And so
I'm talking like college. Like my comment pertained to college.
Okay.
Like just a college game and a pro game is completely different. I mean, Bronny's saying that or LeBron saying that Bronny could play for us right now, comma easy, is outrageous. Like, he's nowhere near being ready. And I think he should definitely talk to him about having a developmental period in college. Take this as a good time. Find a school that you'll get good playing time in and build the numbers, build your draft stock, and get drafted. But I get where LeBron's coming from, because he doesn't have a lot of years left and he wants to play with his son.
Yeah, unless Bronny's just hustling us and he played terrible his first season on purpose, so he could go and like declare for the draft, not get picked, and then become a free agent so anyone can pick him up. And then the Lakers could pick him up, and then that's Bronny's mastermind plan. That could be what Sunshine's doing. We never know.
I mean, that also pertains to the NCAA, like him transferring also brings up the new transfer rule that got brought up, I think it was a day or two ago, and it's that they are now going to not limit the amount of times that a student-athlete can transfer from school to school, and they put a restriction on you can't transfer mid-season, which I do like that, but I just – it's like there's no more passion for a team anymore. It's hard to find an athlete that, like, has real, like, roots for their team and is not just going to leave if you throw money in their face. But I do enjoy it. Like, I mean, we didn't get to see a lot of Bronny this year. And a lot of people want to see Bronny, so he's going to try to find a school, I assume, that will give him playing time. And it's beneficial, I think, to a lot of players, but it also hurts the schools a lot, because you can put high value, like, on a player, put in a lot of NIL money just for like a blue blood to come in and sweep them up because they have more NIL money to spend. It's just gonna turn. It's turning into like a lower scale pro sport at this point.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about the new transfer rule is, like, the transferring midseason, because if you know, like, if you're a freshman and you know you're not going to play their sophomore year and you're not getting much play time, and you, I would, like, much rather transfer to a school where, so I can learn their system and, like, learn their team and, like, develop with the coach and stuff, instead of doing that all brand new, like, out of season. Because, like, I think that just affects more of, like, the freshmen that aren't getting much playing time. So.
Yeah, I mean, college has become a money grab. Really? I mean, that's what's his face. I don't know. It's just all about the money now.
I know Nick Saban was talking about that.
Yeah, Saban. He was talking about how his wife or whatever was like, it doesn't feel like they're like have the like they don't want to play for Alabama just to play for Alabama. They want to get money. Like, it's all about the money. I mean, you see with what's his Caleb Williams too. He's trying to get everything he can out of his rookie season. Like, he's trying to get more than any other rookie has ever gotten, which just doesn't work.
All right, we'll swing to the NFL with the Stephon Diggs trade. I believe we talked about that last week. But now that there's – we didn't? No.
It happened this, like, recently.
And the comments that came out from Antonio Brown, that dude is just messed up in the head. But we'll hear it from Levi.
Yeah, I mean, Diggs – He went to the Texans. No one was expecting that. But the funny thing is, it was like two weeks prior, Stephon Diggs in CT ESPN posted about him going to the Texans, and like it happened. And he did the same thing with Russell Wilson to the Steelers. He posted that beforehand. And who knows? He did say OBJ was going to the Dolphins. We'll see if that actually happens or not.
Yeah, so I saw a video of this little kid crying whenever his dad told him that Diggs got traded to the Texans because he was a little Bills fan, and he knows his season's cooked now because Josh Allen was like nothing without Stephon Diggs. And that's what Stephon Diggs was saying in his tweet earlier that I fully agree with. So Stephon Diggs tweeted, not quoting exact words, but he basically said that, like, the only reason Josh Allen was good was because of him. And then Josh Allen responded, or did Stephon Diggs respond?
No, it was two reporters were tweeting about it, and then Stephon Diggs responded and said, like, not sure. Like, are you sure about that? When it was relating to that, Stephon Diggs was like, it was helpful to his career, but he's not a necessity to Josh Allen's career. And so he's kind of taking a shot at Josh Allen's success was only because of him, which I see. I agree with what the reporter said, helped his numbers tremendously, but he still has Gabe Davis around him, Dawson Knox, two decent players.
Gabe Davis is gone.
He's gone.
Yeah, he got traded before Diggs did. Or signed somewhere else. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, but Gabe Davis was what's the kid on the Chiefs that would always, Justin Watson, he would always just catch like one long bomb a game and that's it.
I don't think it was Justin Watson. Yeah. Justin, like this season, you're talking about this season?
This season, yeah.
Yeah, that was Justin Watson.
Yeah, that's just Gabe Davis.
And then the Chiefs always have had someone like that. I mean, what's his face? The K-State guy.
Byron Pringle.
Byron Pringle. I mean, he would go off every two to three weeks.
No, I'll just shut up about the NFL. Sorry. I do not keep up with trades.
Yeah, but it was recent. It wasn't like we didn't talk about it last week because it was like literally what, Friday? Maybe a little bit before that, but
yeah, we go to a bad streak. We got Rashee Rice probably about an hour ago. There's a warrant out for his arrest for the car crash that we talked about last week. He was hitting that Fortnite racing. He was going for Unreal and crashed.
Yeah, and I think you guys see they found, like, what was it, 16.4 grams of weed in his car, like 14.6 or something. It's just some absurd amount. And so what my theory is I think there was something a lot worse in that car than just, like, 14.6 grams of weed, and he left that in there to make it not seem like as big a deal. But I guarantee you there was some cocaine or meth or something else involved.
All right. About the weed thing, I did see that on Twitter, and at first I was like, dang, that sucks, because now he's definitely going to get suspended for however long. But then I kept looking into it, and that site that was posting that was this site that just posts bull crap stuff about the NFL. It's just not true. So there was no weed found in his car. It was fake news. But I do agree there was definitely something in there, because why would you run? Like,
you're going to put a bat? You're going to put a little parlay on his sentencing?
His NFL sentencing?
His NFL sentencing.
How many weeks he's going to be gone?
This is from NBCSports.com. Police found 10.8 grams of marijuana in the Lamborghini that Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice was driving.
I don't know.
That's from NBC Sports. So.
Fake news. It's, that's liberal propaganda.
Keep coping over there, Chiefs fan.
I don't care.
I mean, do Chiefs fans also watch golf? Do you watch golf?
A little bit. Is this a little transition into a segment?
So, Levi, you say you watch a little bit of golf.
Dad.
You going to watch the Masters?
Yeah, I'm Glorious King Tiger Woods. He's going to...
You mean the immobilized king?
Glorious... He's going to somehow...
He pulled a little Rashee
Tough it
Rice.
Out. He's
Rashee Rice pulled a Tiger Woods.
All right, so Tiger Woods, Glorious King, he's going to... Come back. He's going to win it.
Yeah, I got my money on Rory McIlroy.
Wait, he's the second. He's got the second highest odds to win it. And Scheffler is actually at a 9 to 2. And John Rahm and Rory McIlroy are at 11 to 1. Which, I mean, you still make a decent amount of money off of it. I mean, I like the look of John Rahm winning it. Yeah, he's always been a pretty good golfer.
Tiger BetMGM has his odds at 15,000.
That's like
I put $5 down on that. How much do you get if you put $5 down on that?
That's like so 10x 50, like 90.
Okay, I'm putting. I don't think that's. I feel like it's more than that. 15. No.
Yeah, I think it's wait, how many?
15,000. Plus 15,000.
Wait, how much money? Five?
If I put $5
down. Yeah, it's only like 80 or 90.
Okay. I don't know.
Because plus 100 is double. And then it just like.
Yeah. Just keep doubling.
So it'd be plus 10.
Yeah, so it would be 50 plus 5, so 25. So 75? Yeah, plus 75. So $5 would turn into 75. Because that's like the Celtics playing like the Hornets. That's what the odds would be. It'd be like plus 1,500 for the Hornets.
Oh, so the expert picks have Scottie Scheffler winning it at down to 4 to 1 odds, and sleeper pick is Cam
Smith.
I don't know if you remember Cam a few years ago, the Australian guy that came onto the scene and kind of was. I'd say, like, in a shootout.
Was he the one that went to the Iraqi League? Or who's the one that went to... You know that different, like, PGA thing that was coming about?
Live Golf?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of Live Golf. I think he's at Live.
But my little sleeper pick, there's this guy named Shahith, something like that. He's this guy. I got a little sleeper pick on him.
I like Will Zalatoris, bro. He won a major last year, and he looks real good. And I hope he wins it. And now we're on to our last segment that we kept a surprise for. We'll go the rap beef, Kendrick and J. Cole. Levi.
Kendrick diss J. Cole and Drake. I think it was more directed to Drake, but J. Cole's over here doesn't realize that little dummy he is, and I think he makes this little diss track, and then I think Kendrick calls him and is like, that diss was not about you, and then he apologizes like a bum. He should have stuck with it and just kept flaming Kendrick, but I don't know. What are your thoughts? Think Drake's going to come out with a little comeback or what? I think apologizing is crazy.
I mean, I think you got to stand your ground. I don't know too much about this, but Eli, what do you think?
I'm thinking Kendrick's diss was just so well crafted. It was sculpted, and like just listening to it, like I could listen to that diss on repeat. That was like, it was so well crafted. There's just so many levels to it. And then with like J. Cole coming back out and saying it, I feel like there was like a few strays that were like caught at him because he lumped him and Drake like together in a few of them. But even his diss like against Kendrick wasn't even that hard of a diss. He literally complimented one of his albums like in his diss and like recognized like his accomplishment. And I was just kind of like, this isn't even like really like a diss back. It's more of like a, I'll slap you with my glove. It's not like a pull out the 4-5 and a switch, you know? And so I feel like Drake's trying to cook something up, but he's like Miss Airplane Fondoodler, so.
What?
The Drake leak?
Oh. Oh my.
I tried to like scoot around that without directly saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I just blanked.
Now we got Ben thinking about it.
No, I was. Oh my. I've never seen it.
Cat.
Okay.
I haven't, bro.
Alright.
Yeah, anyways. But yeah, I think if I'm being completely honest, I like Drake's music like quite a bit better than J. Cole and Kendrick. I've been hopping a little bit on the Kendrick train recently. But I don't know, I feel like Drake has produced like a lot more of like my taste of music. And so I mean, Kendrick was all in the right for his diss, and it was well crafted, as I said, and I feel like I support Kendrick on this one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll say goodbye to our audience and all of the fake Northeastern and the fake French people. Peace out.